Welcome back, everybody. We are about to make Fat Guys and Friends history for being actually consistent on doing podcasts. Wayne, how do you feel about that?
It's been a minute.
Feels good, though. All right, today we are going to be talking about legitimate Super Bowl contenders. Last year, you can go back in the annals and look up all of the NFL previews we did. It was about 9-10 hours of podcasting, and it was a lot of work, a lot of editing, a lot of phone calls. So we decided, let's just do one. Let's talk about the teams that really have a chance, because pro football is one of the few sports. Actually, you know what? It's not one of the few, but in pro football, you know every year there's about 6-ish teams that have a legitimate chance of winning the Super Bowl. 3/4 to more of the, to 80% of the league just don't. So we're going to stick with that top group and talk about some teams that have a chance. And then there's a possibility Wang and I might be together this weekend. So look out for that.
In-person podcast stuff.
It could happen. The last time we did that, it was pretty good. So watch out.
Yeah, but we're way better in person. I've realized
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we really are. But I think like I said,
like
we're going to...
We're better in person.
We're going to talk about some NFL today, the Super Bowl contenders. And the way we did it, Wayne and I made up our lists. We both got about 6 teams. A little bit different. A lot of the same ones will repeat. We're going to hit those at the end. But we're going to start off with the ones that maybe we don't have in our top 6 that are on each of our lists. So, Wayne, why don't you start us off with a team that I don't have in my top 6, but could still kind of agree with you that they have a chance.
Okay, first one that I'm going to go with, I went a little out of the box, but I think they could totally rebound this year. That's the Carolina Panthers. They've already shown within the last handful of years, I don't want to get the date wrong, whatever year they lost to Peyton Manning and whatnot. So Cam has proven that he can get a team to the Super Bowl, proven that he can win an MVP. They're going to have a 4th-place schedule this year because they had a super down year last year. Like I said, Cam has shown that they can do it. They've done it with defense in the past, so I could see the Carolina Panthers getting back to the Super Bowl and potentially winning it.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And last season we saw Josh Norman get traded during training camp and their defensive backfield just be terrible. And that's why they lost a lot of their games. I mean, their front 7 was fine, and then just teams could throw all over them. And you mentioned you saw Cam Newton a couple of years ago. I feel like they had a little bit of that Super Bowl hangover and a lot of criticism at Cam Newton. He's not great at handling it. I think kind of with the spotlight off of him this season because they were so bad last season, I think they've got a chance to rebound, like you said. And they've got a tough division ahead of them, and that's going to be something we're going to get into. But I'm totally with you that Carolina, they at least have the parts. They've got everything you need. They went, what was it, 14-2 or 15-1 a couple of seasons ago. So, I mean, they've got everything you need to be a Super Bowl contending team. And the thing is, we just saw their general manager get fired, who, from all accounts, was hated by players. They hated that they traded Josh Norman. They hated how he dealt with guys like Luke Kuechly, who got an extension, got a good deal, but not as high paid as a guy like that, who's arguably the best at his position in the league, should be paid. But I just think that the whole culture, the whole area for Carolina is that they're just a little bit better right now than they were a year ago. So I think maybe that's going to have an effect on the field as well.
And you mentioned the division a little bit. I think the division could be prone for a few steps back. The way that Atlanta lost the Super Bowl, they could totally have a Super Bowl hangover this year and not be as dominant as they were. The Bucs seem to be like an up-and-coming team, but still haven't really proven that they're an elite team. And Drew Brees and the Saints haven't really done a whole lot in recent years. So the division seems like it's prone for the taking for the Panthers.
I'm with you there, but to me, I just think that division as a whole probably is the only one that you would say has all 4 teams know who their quarterback is, and that quarterback is a solid piece. And you've got Drew Brees, Matt Ryan, Cam Newton, and Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston's really the only one that's still a little bit unproven there. All the rest of that division, they know what that guy can do and how dangerous he is. So I just think that when you're playing those teams 2 times a year, it's going to be a tight division race. I think you're going to get two, possibly even three playoff teams out of that division.
Oh, boy. I don't. Three playoff teams out of the NFC South?
It could. Just looking around the rest of the divisions in the NFC, I could see. It will be tight, obviously, for that last spot, but yeah. I could definitely see a situation where Carolina, Atlanta, and maybe even Tampa can sneak in.
Yeah, well, we'll see. You would hit me with one of your teams that I didn't have.
Let's stay in that division because I think you mentioned the Falcons having the Super Bowl hangover, and that's obviously a factor that we won't see until they get on the field. But I just think with the way that they played last season toward the end, the amount of firepower they have on offense, and really, if we're being honest, they were about 18 minutes and some terrible coaching away from being champions. So, I mean, like, I agree that they lost some things in the offseason. Obviously, when you lose your offensive coordinator in Kyle Shanahan, that's going to be a big blow because of how good that offense was. But I just think it's still so loaded with weapons. You got Julio Jones, and even in the games that he didn't go off last year, Atlanta won them all. So that means, you know, when he's getting shut down or when teams are focusing up on him, then there are other guys that are picking up that slack. So I just think Atlanta's got a good chance to be right in that mix again, and if some things break right, they could be, you know, in that Super Bowl again.
Yeah, I wouldn't be totally surprised if they do end up making it back. It's just the way they lost the Super Bowl. We've never seen a team collapse like that in Super Bowl history. And they lost probably the best offensive coordinator in football. So those two things combined, it's just, I think with the Falcons, you almost have to be in wait-and-see mode just to see what kind of product they're going to have out in the field after the offseason they've had.
For sure. And the thing that, just doing some research for talking about this, one of the things that was amazing about Atlanta's season last year was the way that their turnovers went for their team, because their defense has some solid pieces. Obviously, Vic Beasley at kind of outside linebacker, pass rusher, whatever you want to call him, and then some decent defensive backs. But they only turned the ball over 8 times last season. Only one of those were fumbles, and they, on defense, got 16. So it's like, there was some luck on both those spectrums, and if things don't go again like that, maybe they're not as good of a team, and maybe they have to get in some more shootouts. But I just feel like if they're able to keep that same mindset of protecting the ball for the most part and, you know, being opportunistic on defense, I just think they have so much talent, and the amount of speed they play with in their dome, it was pretty impressive to watch. Even as they were collapsing in the Super Bowl, they still had some amazing plays.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and I think that division is going to be between the Panthers or the Falcons to win, because I don't think the Buccaneers are there yet, and the Saints have not been great for a while.
Sure. All right, who's another one you got?
Next one I'm going to go with is I'm going to make our good friend Steve Tyler pretty happy. I'm going to go with the Oakland Raiders. Before the Derek Carr injury, it looked like they were prone for a nice playoff run, and then the poor guy snapped his leg. But he should be coming back. It looks like he's a real deal quarterback that they finally found that they've been looking for since Rich Gannon or Ken Stabler, I would guess. It looks like they're going to have a real deal running game with Marshawn Lynch to go with that great offensive line they already have. And they've got a young, good, up-and-coming defense. So it looks like the Raiders could finally be out of the doldrums of the NFL.
Yeah, you know, I think you're right. I think it was a AFC championship game, like just dream matchup for the NFL to see the Pats and the Raiders last season, just with the Raiders, all those young players like you mentioned, and then all the kind of the old guard and the Patriots. That's what the NFL likes to see. And then, like you mentioned, Derek Carr just breaks his leg in half week 16, just kind of derailed everything. My only gripe with the Raiders, because I think you're right, they have all the pieces, and Derek Carr's a legit quarterback and proved last season that they can come back. You know, they had a couple crazy comebacks early in the season against Atlanta and New Orleans to win those games. But the thing that just I don't see happening for them is all of those pieces staying healthy with the amount of punishment they're going to take in their division. Because I think just being a homer, knowing the defense that Denver has, knowing the defense that Kansas City has, and even San Diego, like, yeah, they're not as top to bottom talented, but they've got two really good pass rushers. Obviously, Joey Bosa lit up the world last season after he stopped being a bitch and got on the field. I just to assume that they're going to be able to be healthy enough for the playoffs is just such a tough thing when you look at the division.
It's hard to predict injuries this far out, though. That's the only thing. I think you got to assume that everybody will stay healthy, which is hard to do, yes, but you don't know what pieces are going to get hurt, though.
This is true. The only other gripe that I might say about Oakland is that I'm not sure if Jack Del Rio is a championship-level coach. I think he's a very good coach. I think he's good, especially with young players. He's a very good talent developer, and we've seen that both in Jacksonville and in Oakland. I know you might laugh here in Jacksonville, but he brought some players along. They just ended up leaving when they were free agents. But
yeah, people forget that Jacksonville team was pretty good with Del Rio.
Yeah, they got to the playoffs that one time. I mean, they got housed, but they got there.
Exactly.
But yeah, I just think that he's a guy that can develop young talent. It's just we haven't seen him in a position to have that young talent in a big game and kind of pull it out. So that'd be my biggest question that's not exactly on the field.
Okay, now you go with another team.
All right. I have Seattle. Now, it hurts me to say this because I hate the Seahawks. I hate pretty much everyone on the team. And yes, it's because they embarrassed the Broncos so bad in the Super Bowl. But
they did.
Yeah, it was ugly. But I think they've got the second best secondary in the league. They locked up Cam Chancellor to a contract. Their defense is about as talented as you can get, just front to back with the pass rushers, good linebackers, everything you need. You know, Russell Wilson's obviously a championship level quarterback, even though apparently his teammates hate him. I find that kind of funny, but he's good enough to win, and he's so elusive. Even with the crappy offensive lines they've been putting in front of him the last couple of years, he still found a way to make plays and get around guys. And oh wait, he's still got Jimmy goddamn Graham as a tight end, and it took him about 7-8 weeks last season to figure out how to use him. But I just think, you know, you put a weapon like that with this offense, it's just they're a championship level team and in a very winnable division.
Yeah, I didn't put the Seahawks on my list, but I guess I wouldn't be overly surprised if they made it back to the Super Bowl. It just seems like the situation with Russell Wilson right now might kind of get into the heads of the players, and the Legion of Boom hasn't been the Legion of Boom the last handful of years, it seems like. But everything coupled together, I mean, they're still probably going to win the West. They're probably going to make a decent playoff run. It's just I don't know if they have everything to make it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you're not wrong about the Legion of Boom, and I think they've underestimated how much a second corner is needed. I mean, obviously Richard Sherman can shut down a half the field or a third of the field. It's just when the other team can pick on the other side, it kind of makes it useless to have a guy like Richard Sherman. It's just I think their biggest question is on offense when you've got the running back situation they do. They've got Thomas Rawls coming off injury, so we don't know what he's going to be like. You got Eddie Lacy, who almost ate himself out of the league, and it's like huge news every time he beats a weigh-in, and he's still at like 255, which is, you know, I know he's a big running back to begin with, and that's part of his appeal, but it's like the idea that a guy's going to be 255 and athletic and agile enough to play NFL running back, we didn't see it last year, and it hasn't been since really a couple of years ago for Lacy that he's been in good enough shape to compete. And then there's, you know, CJ Procise, who's hit or miss, crazy athlete, just not very consistent. So when you have Russell Wilson and the read option so effective, you need that running back to be able to lean on a little bit. It's just, do they have it in one of those three guys or maybe in some type of combination? We don't know yet.
Yeah, the only 250-pound running back that's ever really done anything in the NFL is my favorite player, Jerome Bettis. So,
yeah, and he was just all right. Let's be real here.
Oh, he's a Hall of Famer, so.
Yeah, he's just all right. Anyway,
it's like you want
just
me
a
to
quick question
you.
Before we move on from Seattle. Like, does this, like, Russell Wilson versus Richard Sherman / the entire defense doesn't like Russell Wilson, does that, like, have a chance to, like, implode? Like, Pete Carroll acts like he's, you know, the Zen master, like Phil Jackson, managing all these egos and stuff, but it's like, is there a chance that this just blows up in everybody's face and that team implodes.
There has to be an off chance. I mean, every professional athlete has some sort of ego. That's how you become a professional athlete. You have True. To think your shit doesn't stink. And that's how people make it to the NFL, NBA, MLB, whatever pro sport it is. But then to have your teammates out and out say they don't like you for whatever reason it is, no matter what reason it is, that's not good. I mean, it broke up Kobe and Shaq. It's broken up plenty of better teams than the Seahawks. So it could definitely implode Seattle.
I just think it's hilarious because they tried to trade Richard Sherman in the offseason. And it happened so long ago, it happened like right after the season was over, that people kind of forgot about it now. But you know Richard Sherman hasn't. You know? Like, Richard Sherman is one of the top five corners in the league, no matter which way you slice it. And it's like my team tried to trade me because I don't like the quarterback.
Yeah, he's not going to forget this anytime soon. And the way he likes to chirp, I guarantee he likes to chirp in the locker room too, especially to and around Russell Wilson.
That's why you don't bang rappers' wives or girlfriends or baby mamas. Like, I would just avoid that sect of the female population if I was an athlete.
Oh, yeah, that's what you would avoid? You would avoid all the pussy being thrown at you?
I'm just saying that particular type that already has kids with rappers.
Seems like a pretty specific group.
I know, that's why it wouldn't be that hard to avoid.
I think you're dancing around a word you don't want to say.
Maybe. All right, let's go to teams that we both have, and I think we can both agree that we both have this team on our list, but we're like probably the least confident in it than anybody else, and that's the Dallas Cowboys.
Yep.
Obviously, they were one of the best teams in the NFC last year, and I would say they ran the best ball control offense that we've seen in a long time with their running game and everything they were able to do. They only turned it over 8 times, and that was only 4 picks from a rookie quarterback, so that's pretty amazing. And the guy just didn't make mistakes and just let the running game and let the defense control the clock and eat up enough time that they were able to win a lot of games. There are just so many issues with this team, and because it's Jerry Jones running it, you're always in for him saying something dumb or pissing his team off to a point that they just stop performing well. That I still think they have some talent and have enough talent to maybe get there, but the Cowboys are just such a question mark that I can't put them too high on the list so far.
Yeah, I mean, both their rookies played out of their mind last year with Zeke and Dak, and you have to assume that one of them is going to have a sophomore slump. I mean, you talked about Dak already, only with the 4 turnovers. For a rookie quarterback, that is insane. So you have to assume that he is not going to produce the way he can this year. And then with the Zeke situation at least being suspended, I'm going to say he'll at least be suspended 4 games with this appeal, it might go down too. But as of right now, going to miss 6 games. You had talked about the schedule before we started recording. I mean, their schedule isn't insane in those 6 weeks, but it being without Zeke is still going to hurt. But it might end up being a blessing in disguise, where Zeke will have fresh legs when he comes back. I mean, he played the whole 16 games last year and was a freak. You give this guy at least 4 weeks off, 5 with the bye week, he comes back. It could have a Patriots effect on the team, where they just despise Roger Goodell now, and now they want to kick everybody's ass that's put in front of them.
For sure. And all of those, let's just say the Zeke situation stays at 6 games, is suspended 6 games. Only one of those games, opening night against the Giants, is a division game. So that means in the 10 games that he'll play, half of them are going to be against division opponents, and he killed division opponents last season. So let's say they're able to go maybe 2-4 or 3-3 in that first 6 games when he's out. If he can come in and help them win the division games, can sneak into the playoffs, and like you said, have fresh legs late in the season. And if you can run the ball in the playoffs like they were able to, Zeke had a good game against the Packers to a point. I mean, that was one of the crazier back and forth games you're going to see. I just think that, like you mentioned, that there could be a blessing in disguise, could be a situation where it ends up turning out good for him, even though, you know, it's never good to have arguably your best player and one of the best running backs in the league out for 6 games.
Exactly. And then just go ahead.
Their offensive line was really the strength of the team last season that allowed Dak Prescott all that time, and he was able to scramble around when he needed to, but he was protected really well. This season's a little bit different. They're going to start La'el. I don't know how the hell to say it. I think La'el Collins. And he's basically a rookie. He was on the team last season, but he didn't play. And then at left guard, they're going to start Jonathan Cooper, who's about 4 or 5 years in the league, but still hasn't played a ton. They just lost Doug Free, who was right tackle last season. So it's still going to be a strength. Tyron Smith's probably the best left tackle in the game. It's just not going to be as dominant as it was a year before, I think.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Then they've had the issues on defense with it not being good. And, hey, what do you know? Sean Lee's hurt again. Hey, what do you know?
Oh, how about that?
Yeah.
Annual reminder that Sean Lee's body doesn't work.
Yeah, and they've had people getting suspended already and Jerry Jones being the crazy southern bastard that he is. So there's always going to be question marks around the Cowboys, which is why you think they could be good, but then all of a sudden things can implode out of nowhere like the Cowboys do.
Yeah, and their defense outperformed because they didn't have a ton of talent. They had guys that were finally healthy a little bit, like Sean Lee ended up playing most of the season, which has never happened. And, they had enough guys in the secondary to be competitive. I'm not sure if they have that this year. They lost some guys in free agency. They weren't able to keep any of the corners from last season. So if they're able to keep that no-name defense thing going again, maybe. But, yeah, definitely a question mark and a team that you could see contending, but if they don't, it's going to be pretty obvious why.
Exactly. And then if we want to go to another team that I know we both have but probably aren't super, super confident in either, I'm going to say the Green Bay Packers. Because the Packers are only going to go as far as Aaron Rodgers will take them.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's been the MO for the Packers for the last decade, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, this isn't exactly hard-hitting analysis, but Aaron Rodgers is really fucking good.
Yeah, good quarterback there.
Yeah, good quarterback. Good. Listen, Green Bay is a big quarterback town, and he's a good one. So I just think that if this is finally the year that Mike McCarthy gets out of his own way and starts letting Aaron Rodgers throw the ball early in games to then get a running game going as opposed to trying to do it the other way around, which has never made any sense, then they have a chance to be a special team.
Yeah, I would totally agree. They need, the way their team is set up is they have a great quarterback, they have probably a top 10-ish wide receiver in Jordy Nelson, and then good supporting cast with Cobb and Devontae Adams when he can actually catch the ball. And then if they can find a running back that plays running back to run the ball for him. I mean, last year they had so many goddamn injuries, they had a wide receiver playing running back.
Yeah, and he's like going to start again. He is the number one.
Yeah, it looks like they're just going to go with Ty Montgomery again, even though they drafted like 5 running backs this year. So that'll all depend, but the defense still has so many question marks, especially at corner.
Yeah, I mean, their defense is going to be...
It's just so rough. It's amazing.
I mean, they signed Devon House, who's a retread from... he was on the Packers before, and he got a big contract from the Jags and didn't live up to it. And it's like, you had this one glaring weakness, and you can't pull the trigger on anything to really improve it. I just don't get it. Clay Matthews, at what point are we going to stop pretending that this guy's like an elite pass rusher? He's all right now. Like, he used to be.
He was okay for a while.
Yeah, but he's all right now. And they've got to find some guys to get to the passer because... Nick Perry had a decent season last season. I think he ended up with like 9 or 10 sacks. But they're definitely lacking there. And to assume that, Clay Matthews with some of the younger linebackers stepping up is going to be able to go back to being that elite pass rusher again, I just don't think it's going to happen at this age.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's the defense is such a big question mark. It's just going to be what Aaron Rodgers can pull off on the offensive side of the ball for the Packers.
Yeah, I mean, if they're in a bunch of 35, 32 shootouts again, obviously you give the edge to the team with Aaron Rodgers. But, I mean, it's such an unsustainable way to win. I just don't see their defense sticking up there. The one thing that I would say that the Packers did that it's getting news up here because we are in Wisconsin, but the Martellus Bennett addition I don't think Aaron Rodgers or even Brett Favre ever played, well, maybe Brett Favre with Sterling Sharp, but ever played with a tight end that was that combination of size and speed and catching ability. I mean, Martellus Bennett was basically a less talkative version of Gronk for the Patriots last season, helped them win the Super Bowl, and then is now with probably the best quarterback in the league in Aaron Rodgers. And I just got to imagine when teams start loading up on Jordy Nelson or Cobb or whoever's having a good day, it's just you don't have a physical mismatch or a physical matchup that can stick with Martellus Bennett for an entire game.
Yeah, it's definitely going to help. I mean, you're either going to have to throw a safety on him and then he can throw it over top of him, or you're going to have to put a linebacker on him and he can just run past him. It's your comparison to Gronk was a perfect one, just less outspoken, less white version.
Exactly. Here's a question for you, though. So what is the over-under on the weeks that Mike McCarthy either gives away or takes back play calling? Because that seems to be a storyline with the Packers every year. It's like, oh, God, is McCarthy calling plays or not?
I want to say 4, because it sounds fun, that he'll give it away and take it back at least 4 times. So if you put it at 3.5, I would probably take the over.
And if I don't see them struggling out of the gate like they did last year, and so much of that was due to the fact that Eddie Lacy just wasn't physically capable of playing NFL running back last year, and the injuries that they had on defense as well. But I just can't imagine that they struggle, because let me just read off to you real quick the teams that they play in the opening few weeks. So they start with Seattle. That's a legit game. Then at the Falcons. Again, legit game. But then Bengals, Bears, Cowboys without Zeke, Vikings. I mean, there's lots of winnable games and lots of home games in there early.
Yeah, they, besides the two hard games at the beginning, they should go on a 4-game winning streak, unless Zeke's suspension gets reduced way more than we think it's going to.
Yeah. So, I agree with you. The Aaron Rodgers X factor of him being the best quarterback in the league, I mean, what he does, I think he'll have another MVP-type season. He's going to reach this absurd plateau of being like the only guy with 300 touchdowns without 100 picks, and he's only going to have, like, you know, optimistically like 75 at that time. So the guy is just too advanced at this point to hurt the team by turning it over and just scores at will. So the Packers, like you said, Aaron Rodgers leads it, and however well he plays is how well they'll play.
So now that we've made people in the state happy, let's make me happy, because I know we both have the Steelers on our list.
This is true. Why don't you start, since it's your team?
Well, I don't think it's going out on a limb that the Steelers have the best trio in the league between Big Ben, Antonio Brown, and Le'Veon Bell when all healthy. It's just been that not all of them have been healthy at the same time, or able to play at the same time is a better way to put it, with Le'Veon Bell liking to get high and driving. But besides that, they added more weapons. With they drafted Juju Smith out of UFC in the second round, who could be another playmaker for the Steelers. Martavis Bryant is coming back from a year-long suspension for smoking marijuana. The defense is young and very good. Ryan Shazier is finally stepping into that role that Lawrence Timmons had for all those years after he got old and they moved on from him. The hardest things in the Steelers' way to make it to the Super Bowl is the fact that they're in the same conference as the Patriots. I think that's the one glaring thing that stops them from getting to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and the Patriots just historically have had the Steelers' numbers. I agree with you there.
Yeah, they have.
And, you know, just to your point about the threesome that they have, if you've got a good quarterback in Le'Veon Bell can do a ton of damage, or a good quarterback in Antonio Brown can do a lot of damage without that third piece. But you add in that, I mean, you just put these defenses at the situation where what are we supposed to load up on? Because if we keep rolling coverage at Antonio Brown, well, there's a one-on-one matchup on the other side with, you know, Martavis Bryant or maybe Juju Smith-Schuster, who runs a 4-4 or whatever, and he's just flying down the field, and, you know, Big Ben likes to throw it deep. So it just creates all these offensive mismatches, and then, you know, the way that they're able to incorporate the tight end when the middle is evacuated, it's just these teams that are trying to defend the Steelers basically have to pray for good luck, or, you know, one of those 4 or 5 games a year that Ben Roethlisberger's foot's hurt or shoulder's hurt or has a concussion or whatever, that he's just not out there.
The day that they're recording this, I don't know if you've been on Twitter at all today, but the picture coming out of Steelers camp, Roethlisberger had ice packs on both knees, his shoulder, his elbow, and maybe his forehead for whatever reason. He's walking around. And the Steelers team reporter for ESPN, Jeremy Fowler, says, "Oh, don't worry. It's maintenance. Roethlisberger's fine."
Yeah.
What?
I'm going to tell
That's
you right
now,
any guy that talks about retirement as openly as Ben Roethlisberger did earlier this year, he's not fine.
He can't be. Nobody needs that much ice for maintenance.
I'm with you. I mean, why are you walking around with that? Why don't you just jump in an ice bath? If you needed all of those places...
Yeah, or why do it in public? Like, wait till you get back to the locker room. Like, don't make it public knowledge that you hurt this bad a week into training camp.
I love your anger. It's great.
It's... Oh, man. If we want to keep talking about the offense, though, Eli Rogers kind of came along a little last year to show that he can be a competent slot receiver. You talked about Jesse James, the road dog. Jesse James is out to call him, a little wrestling reference for you there. He can open things up over the middle, being a 6'8 white tight end who was making a lot of good plays last year. James Conner out of Pittsburgh looks like he's going to be the new backup running back when they didn't re-sign D'Angelo Williams, who is now a professional wrestler, I believe.
He sure is.
It looks like the Steelers offense is finally coming back together and should be in top form to be, at worst, a top five offense, I would say.
Do you think that Ben Roethlisberger and Todd Haley have stopped getting in pissing matches every year and will actually work together this time?
I think Roethlisberger has realized that he has 1, maybe 2 years left in him, and pissing and moaning about what Todd Haley wants to do isn't the way to go, and that it's time to... If he has that big of a gripe, go directly to Mike Tomlin, who will have a better chance of getting his message across to Todd Haley. But just doing what you can. And Roethlisberger's got enough pull in Pittsburgh where if he doesn't like the play call, I guarantee he switches it in the huddle.
That's a very fair point. All right, I'm going to hit you with some issues that I have with that team because I know it's tough for you to see it. I don't think Mike Tomlin's a very good coach.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
This argument.
I think he's vastly overrated, and I don't think that he creates a situation that guys actually have to follow rules. Like the fact that you have your best player get suspended in back-to-back years. How? At what point do you just start calling a car service for him?
That's
and
fair.
Also, their secondary is very weak.
We mentioned
their big roadblock is the Patriots. I can't see those guys covering up the Pats receivers. Or, you know, they're going to have a tough time in division with A.J. Green. Their secondary is very rough. And when you don't have a good secondary in the playoffs, you just put yourself at such a major disadvantage.
Yeah, the Steelers secondary has been an issue for... I've been a fan since I've been 8. I'm 25, 17 years. I'm going to say at least 10 of those years the secondary has been an issue.
I mean, do you think this is a good enough secondary to get by, or do you think the front seven is just talented enough that they can kind of play complimentary football there?
Well, Artie Burns has shown progress to hopefully blossom into a number one corner. Ross Cockrell showed signs of being a competent corner. I don't want to say a number two corner, but a competent corner. It's just the front seven needs to get pressure. That's what it boils down to, because these guys aren't good enough to cover for 5, 7, 10 seconds like NFL corners should.
That's a fair point. And now we have to go to the team that's the most obvious and the one that we're going to hate the most, because it's in our conference and they seem to beat our teams every goddamn year.
Yeah.
The New England Patriots. When I did my research, or I did the my notes here, I kind of broke it down to why they'll win and the issues that they have. And I have, for why they'll win, because fuck these guys.
every damn year. I mean, it's amazing that their division for a decade and a half has just rolled over and allowed them to kick their asses, but they sure have.
Yeah, they haven't put up a fight since 2001. Did all this bullshit start?
Yeah. I mean, Tom Brady is just turned 40 and is probably better now than he was when he was 28, 29. And I think they, you know, they just won the Super Bowl in February and their roster is better now. I mean, they're getting Gronk back. They add Brandon Cooks. Like, the only difference between Brandon Cooks and the rest of the Pats receivers is his skin tone. Like, he's small, he's super fast, runs good routes, has good hands. It's just, it's amazing organizationally how they are just, they go all in every year and it never, ever goes wrong for them, it seems.
I don't get it. I will never understand that this run that the New England Patriots have gone on. It doesn't make any shred of sense that the older Tom Brady gets, the better he gets, that they make all these asinine moves that somehow work out. They get every white wide receiver in the NFL, and for whatever reason, Tom Brady makes them stupid good. I don't get it, and all it does is make me mad whenever we talk about them.
Well, okay, so Danny Amendola, great example here. Danny Amendola was an okay player for the Rams that couldn't stay healthy. He goes to New England, he's been on the field pretty much every game in the last 3 years, and he's been a very solid complimentary wide receiver. How does that happen? It's not fair. And then here's an underrated move that they made. They got Coney Ealy as a free agent from the Panthers, and their biggest weakness last season was pass rush. Coney Ealy is a monster. He almost single-handedly won the Panthers Super Bowl against the Broncos, had 2.5 sacks and 2 turnovers. And then, you know, they still have Devonta Hightower, who's a linebacker, but he's a guy that can still rush the passer and made a huge play in the Super Bowl to help him in that comeback.
It's not fair.
I hate it. And, you know, getting back to the division a little bit, legitimately the best opposing quarterback that the Pats are going to play this year is Tyrod Taylor. I'm not even counting Jay Cutler because we haven't seen him play a real season in a year and a half. But it's like Tyrod Taylor is the best quarterback they're going to face twice a year. And just so happens the Bills traded their best weapon, Sammy Watkins, earlier this week.
I don't get it. That's all I can say. I don't get it.
And I was trying to think of like reasons that they're gonna struggle or something that could happen, and just throwing out injuries because it's not entirely fair to just guess somebody's gonna get hurt. But it's like the only thing that jumps out is like offensive line being consistent. But even then, they were one of the teams that had the most games or most plays, I think it was, started by their starting five offensive line, and it was them and the Seahawks, or them and the Falcons, that had the highest number of those last season and coincidentally end up being in the Super Bowl.
The only thing that I can think that would make them struggle, and there's no sign that this is going to happen, is that quarterbacks over 40 typically don't perform well in the NFL. I think Brett Favre is the only player over 40 to get his team to the playoffs. So that's the only shred of hope the AFC has, I think.
I am entirely with you. Hey, can karma be an issue? Can just be like, you know, years of cheating and being this good, like, finally just catch up to you and you have a season from hell?
I know you're not supposed to wish for injuries, but I want Tom Brady to get hurt. There, I said it.
Oh. We'll see, man. I hate it.
Why'd we save them for the end and now we're sad?
That's a good point. Let's hit a couple of, do you have anybody like on the fringe or people that you just didn't believe in enough to put on the list?
One that I definitely wanted to mention that they're up and coming but are so young, I don't think they have a shot at the Super Bowl but are probably going to be a playoff team, Tennessee Titans.
Yeah,
I mean, they're kind of everybody's dark horse team this year.
Yeah, they're kind of the talk, just the way that they're steadily improving the weapons they have around Mariota, and they're getting some
decent defenders, and they've got obviously the running game that you need and really good offensive line, so protecting Mariota is obviously a premium there. I'm with you that they're a year away, but yeah, I think soon they're going to be one of those teams that are knocking on the Patriots' door.
Yeah, I mean, they're so young. If all their players hit their stride this year, they could make a deep playoff run. It's just I don't see Super Bowl in the cards yet, but their five-year plan looks very good.
Very true. And it's not to die, so that's good, too.
Yes.
But another one that I had is Houston. Obviously, they have the defense. J.J. Watt coming back. Whitney Merciless had a really good year last season. Javavian Clowney, I mean, just a freak defensive line. Good enough defensive backs and enough skill pieces on offense that whether it's Tom Savage or if Deshaun Watson ends up winning throughout training camp, that battle that they're having, I think that they're going to be able to protect him and give him enough weapons. Really, anything that they put out there is going to be an improvement over Brock Osweiler from last season. So they were a playoff team with Brock Osweiler most of the time. So I think you improve that a little bit. You're looking at a team that's still dangerous, but I don't think has enough firepower offensively to get you to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's definitely all going to depend on the quarterback situation for them. I don't think they truly believe that Tom Savage is the answer there. Otherwise, they wouldn't have traded up to get Deshaun Watson. So I think I would assume that Savage might struggle a bit, and then they're going to make the change to Watson and then see what they have. But it all depends on what a rookie quarterback can do for him, I suppose.
Yeah. And who was it? Ben Roethlisberger is the last rookie to go to the Super Bowl?
Yep.
Yeah. Two other ones I've got real quick. The Vikings, if they had an offensive line, I think they could challenge Green Bay for that division. It's just they can't block and they can't run. So you're putting Sam Bradford out there to get killed. And their defense is good enough. I think their defense is Super Bowl quality. I just don't think they have enough ability to run the ball and can protect Bradford enough. And then kind of in the same vein, Denver. I don't think we've got the offensive line or the quarterback. I think we've got everything else. I know we have the defense. It's just we've got nothing. I have zero faith that on like a 3rd and 4 in a big game that we're going to get it.
Yeah, you said the defense is there and they've got weapons on offense. It's just finding the guy to get the ball to those weapons.
Yeah. Very little faith in my boys this year. I think we'd be lucky to go 10-6 and maybe scrape that sixth playoff spot. If everything breaks right and somehow Trevor Siemian becomes like a better version of Sam Bradford, maybe win the division, but I don't have a lot of faith there.
Yeah, I don't have much confidence in the Broncos either.
Go Denver, though. Let me tell you, I'll be yelling a lot this year.
You yell a lot every day.
Oh, good point. So why change now is what you're telling me.
You know what? That's what I'm telling you.
All right, that's a good place to end it right there. You can find us on Twitter at FatGuys and like Nancy Friends. You can email us FatGuysAndFriends@gmail.com. You can get us on YouTube. Just search Fat Guys and Friends. iTunes through Wang's Magic with the computer. You can download and subscribe to it. Did I hit anything? Miss anything, Wang?
I don't think so. We're Facebook. I think we're...
Facebook, obviously, there. Fat Guys and Friends. Hopefully coming to you Saturday. We're going to do a little wrestling. We told you we're going to split up the sports and wrestling Saturday. Hopefully we can get together and we can break down SummerSlam right before it happens and maybe do a little quick reactionary pod on Sunday if we can watch the pay-per-view together. So look forward to that. Wang, good job, my friend. That was some good talk. And yeah. I wish my team actually had a chance while yours does.
Thank you.
All right. Listen to us later this week. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Goodbye.